here in the last time we talked, you talked about being in the fight at North America.
Oh, yeah.
And leaving. So, did that come to you?
Yeah. My mother said then, you know, to rest. She didn't, you know, give her a rest from keeping the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember how long I stayed home. It couldn't have been no more than a couple of months. Because, you know, there was no welfare or anything like that. So my mother had to support me and the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, well, I'll maybe even go to work now. So I had heard, don't tell me how, through some friends or something like that, you know, that civil service was giving little quickie exams. You wouldn't be on permanent, but, you know, you could work. And so I went down to the county and took a test for typist clerk. And I went to work at, they called it General Hospital, then it's now USC Medical Center. And I worked there almost 3 years. I was eventually made permanent. I took the long exam, you know, the more extensive exam and passed, and I was made permanent. So
how many years did you work at that time?
Almost 3 years. I went to work there in 43.
Mm-hmm.
September of 43. Well, I guess I did work 3 years there.
Mm-hmm.
September of 43, and, yeah, I left there about 3 years later because I went to work for the police department in December of 46.
And is that LAPD?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how did you get that job?
Well, at the time, you know, I was getting involved with civil service and they would have bulletins. And so I would check bulletins. I took exams for the state, for the county, for federal. I was just taking all kinds of exams. Every time something came up I qualified for it, I took it.
Uh-huh.
And so I had taken the exam. Well, in the meantime, I had quit General Hospital. I got into it with a supervisor because she had changed my hours and I wanted to come in early on Tuesday so I could take my piano lesson.
Uh-huh.
And she said, okay, but I didn't know she meant one Tuesday. I thought she meant every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
When I came in the second Tuesday, she was very nasty. So I went to the typewriter and typed up my resignation and told her it was effective that day. And then I worked for the Civil Service Commission, L.A. County Civil Service Commission, for a couple of months. And then, having taken an exam for the city, they called me
mm-hmm.
for the police department. And so I was kind of excited about that, and they accepted me, and I passed the physical and everything, so I went to work for them, and out of all the jobs that I've had, that, I like that better than anything I'd ever had.
When you were working for the county commission, what kind of
work
were you
doing? It was typist clerk.
Typist clerk.
Uh-huh.
And what was the job at the police department?
It was typist clerk at first, and then I took the exam for the intermediate,
uh-huh.
and I passed that, so after you have a 6 month probationary period, so after my 6 month probationary period,
mm-hmm.
I was made an intermediate type of clerk, made more money then, you know, and more responsible work.
Mm-hmm. So, what were the things you liked about that job?
Well, for about a year, I worked in the records section.
Mm-hmm.
And at the hospital, we had a little small teletype, and so one day when they were showing me around, I said, oh, I know how to run the teletype. So they put me on the teletype, and oh, I used to just bang it out. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was so good at it till I was on off days, and when I came back from my days off, they had transferred me to communications where I did nothing but teletype. The only thing was I objected. I had gone on a graveyard shift so I could take my son to school. He was going to a private school.
Mm-hmm.
And I objected, but it worked out. I was on days, and then I found out they had a rotation system, and that's when I went on swing shift. I could trade with the girls who didn't want swing shift.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out fine. It was beautiful. I loved it.
So
just
you,
loved
you
it.
Were on swing shift most of the time?
I was on swing shift 9 months out of a year, and I stayed there almost 5 years.
So what would you, I mean, when would you, you were still living with your parents?
Oh, sad to say, yes.
And so you'd get up in the morning and take your son to school?
Uh-huh.
And
then, you know, I'd go pick him up, and then I'd go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother would take care of him then.
Mm-hmm. What would you do with your days when you were
Oh, I finally bought a little old car, and I was so thrilled with the little old car. I'd ride around all day.
Uh-huh. Anything special or just?
No, just ride around. I thought that I would never get tired of driving, uh-huh. but it soon wore out.
And then, what were you doing as far as social activities and things?
I think after I had been there about I had been going with a guy, older guy I had met when I was riding the streetcar to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And he was interesting. He was from the same state as I was. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't been out here too long. So we go out, and I got pregnant. And when I told him, he said, "Are you sure it's mine?" And I was real hurt, so I proceeded to get an abortion that almost killed me. Mm-hmm. And he told me after it was over, he said, "Well, the reason I asked," he said, "I had a nervous breakdown. The doctor told me I was sterile." I said, "Well, get your money back because you're not sterile." Uh-huh. Well, so we were friends even up until I met my husband. And as a matter of fact, I was so disappointed with my husband. I was going to leave my husband and go to him instead. He didn't understand me. I was flipping, you know, going places, always doing something and everything. He was older and he was more serious, and he told my girlfriend, he says, "I'd like to marry." He says, "But she doesn't seem settled." She says, "Oh, she's settled." She says, "You just ask her, you know, because right now she's having fun, but if she meets the right guy," I say, you never find a better person." Well, it took him so long to get around to it, and I had met, you know, my kid's father. So then he realized, you know, after I had married him, that, you know, I was the one. Mm-hmm. And then he was killed. I was supposed to see him, and I think that meeting would have meant a change in my life. Because he was real disappointed. Later on, he would say, "Oh, he says our child would have been such and such an age." And, you know, I felt like that he didn't think I was just with it, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, that it really was his, you know. But that's just how flippant I was, you know. He said, "You sure it's mine?" I said, "Oh, well, you never see it," you know. And that was it.
How did you, at the time, when the abortion being illegal,
I went to a Mexican woman that a girl told me about, and I was so hard to abort. I had to go to her about 3 times, and when I went to her the 3rd time, I hemorrhaged, and I had peritonitis. I went to the hospital, but I never told her. She finally killed somebody and went to prison.
What kind of method did she use?
She inserted, I think it was tincture of green soap she inserted into the wound. Mm-hmm.
And then, so you finally aborted
and
then ended up with
peritonitis? Yeah, uh-huh, and like she did it on a Wednesday night. I went to the hospital that Thursday morning, and I didn't pass the fetus until that Friday. Mm-hmm. So, and oh, I was so sick. See, I knew, I went to the hospital, I knew the nurses and everything there, and one nurse told me, she said, "Boy, you just didn't make it." You know, so I came through that, and I promised God then I'd never get rid of none. That's the reason I had 3 right in a row. There were no birth control methods, you know, then, and I tried different stuff, but it just didn't work, and my husband was impatient, you know, mm-hmm. with me using this stuff, so consequently I had 3, 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm.
So this was with this older man that you used before you met your husband.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And did anyone in the hospital raise questions as to why you were, you know, having your problems?
Well, they knew. They knew, you know, that I had gotten pregnant. And they just, you know, I was young, and, you know, they just put it to my use.
Uh-huh. So no one made you realize that?
No, uh-uh.
So then after that, you met your man you married?
Uh-huh. I didn't meet him until after I was working at the police department.
Uh-huh.
And, well... this well-meaning girlfriend of mine, She had finally married and she had quit work. She was older than I was. And she rented out her room. She had 3 bedrooms, so she rented out 2 bedrooms and she rented a room to him. So she called and told me she wanted me to meet him. But she had introduced me to some cousin of hers that was a real dud. And so I said, oh, Mabel, you know, I really wasn't interested. And it just so happens that that particular, I think it was a Friday night, I didn't have anything. Oh, I know what it was. I had learned how to play poker. So I was playing poker, you know, every chance I got. And there was a poker game. But I didn't have anything to do. By that time, my aunt was keeping my little boy, and she was keeping him, like, every day. She was keeping him night and day. And I'd go get him on my off days. So I didn't have anything to do, and so I went on over there. And to me, he was a dud, too. And he said, well, let's go someplace. Well, he was fairly new in town. He was from Texas. And so we drove. I drove over to where the poker thing was. But I didn't like the way he talked and everything. And then he started feeling and petting. And so I said, oh, I'm going to take you back home, you know. So I took him back home and dropped him off. And I came back to the poker game and I thought no more about him. I played poker all night. And next day I was asleep. And he called, and, he wanted me to come back again that night. We were going to play cards or something. And I said, well, maybe, and if I don't have anything else to do. So I didn't have anything else to do, and so I went back. And he seemed a little interesting. We played cards, and then Mabel and her husband left us alone in the living room, and we talked. And then it seemed like after that, we just, you know, we started seeing each other. And I liked him. He was a nice guy. He didn't know much. I didn't know at the time how ignorant he was. And he was illiterate. And if I had known he was illiterate, I'd have dropped him like a hot potato. But I just thought he was a dumb country guy, you know. And one that would probably learn. But you can't teach an illiterate person because they don't know what's going on. They think you're trying to screw them.
So, you mentioned a minute ago that your son was staying
with your aunt. Oh, yeah, that came up right in the middle. What did I had been working at the hospital for about a year and a half, I guess, and was really settled in the job, and my mother says, well, I can't keep it any longer. I don't feel good, you know. So I says, well, I just can't quit jobs and go back. You know, I really got annoyed then, you know. I said, well, you just can't dictate. I can't quit this job now and try to pick up another job later on. You know, and I really got peeved. Then my aunt stepped in and she said that she would take care of me. And, you know, but then it was pretty hard. I never had any money. My mother wanted me to give her so much money. My aunt wanted me to give her so much money, plus pay for the milk bill. So it never left me with hardly any money by the time I paid my mother, paid her, you know, and so forth. But it was the only way I could work, and at the time, I preferred to work.
Did, when you were your son was staying with your aunt, were you still living with your aunt?
I was still living with my mother.
So did you get much time with him that way?
Well, as much as I wanted, you know. At the time, I was just really going, you know. I really took advantage of the fact that she kept, and like every other night, I was out.
So, did you get off your sleep check?
Well, see, I was at the hospital then, and you know, like I had friends who didn't work, and we'd go out about every other night, and my mother didn't like it, but it wasn't too much she could say because she wasn't keeping him. And then sometimes when he was there, I'd put him to bed and then I'd go off.
Yeah.
You know, I really got bold about it then.
So, then, with your, with meeting your husband, how long was it before you found out that he was married?
Not till after we were married.
So, did anything ever come up where you talked about it?
He didn't want to talk about it. I tried to help him, you know, tried to tell him to go to school. He was a veteran and you know, I had plans because I was serious about marriage. Could have made really a real good marriage, you know. But I found out, well, not too long after we married, I found out that he liked women. And so that was his whole game, you know, was women. Because he was always accusing me of men. I bought a house, and first house I bought, we moved into it because other than that, we were just, you know, like renting and so forth. So I bought this house. I was still at the police department then. And that was cute little Spanish stucco. And I bought it in my name because I had the credit, and I borrowed the money and everything, and he resented that. And so he never paid a note. Consequently, when I got pregnant, he wouldn't pay the note. So, you know, the house had gone into foreclosure, so I sold it.
Did, how long did you see him before you came here?
I can't remember. Because my mother liked him, surprisingly enough. He was one of the guys that she liked. And my son liked him. I don't remember. It was after she died that I married him. Because it was in September. She died in April of 50. And we married in September of 50 because I was pregnant. I don't think we ever would have married if I hadn't gotten pregnant.
Did
we were living together though. Uh-huh. We had moved together. We were living together at the time my mother died, but I didn't really love him. And we were seeing each other. And then I think he suggested moving together. Well, I knew this was totally against my religion, but I saw it a way of being away from home. And so we had even moved into our house. That was the reason I had bought the house, because we weren't married yet. And I had bought it in my name, and which he totally resented. And my mother died in April. Well, we had been in the house. We had been in the house then, because my mother had been out and seen it and everything. And she died, and then went on, and I don't think we had any plans of marrying. I mean, I had thought about it, and I would have, you know, then when I got pregnant, you know, then, you know, that was when I wanted to.
So, before all this, you lived with the parents up until the time you bought this house?
No, I lived with them until we moved together. He rented a place, and we moved together. We had lived together about a year before I bought the place.
Okay,
huh. Mm-hmm.
So, but moving in with him was the first time you left with parents for any extended
period? Yeah.
How did they feel about that?
I was surprised. My mother took it real well. She took it real well because I didn't know how to tell her. I had spent the night with him. We got the place and I spent the night with him because we'd been looking for places. And I said, well, I got to go home and get my stuff. So she was home, you know, and my sister was there. And so I went in and started packing my stuff, and I told her, I said, I'm moving, you know, I'm moving with Russell. And so finally I had all my stuff together, and I was going to put it in the car. And I went in and I said, well, Mother, I'm moving. She says, where are you moving? So I says, oh, on 135th in Avalon. She says, you are. So you moving by yourself? I said, well, no. You know, I got bold and I said, no, I'm not. So she says, oh. So I think something, I don't know how it came up. I said, could I have a knife? And I got a knife from her. And I remember I kept that knife for years and years and years. I don't even know what finally happened to it.
Uh-huh.
But it was something in the apartment. The apartment was furnished.
Uh-huh.
And it was something in the apartment. I needed a knife. And then it was really funny because I had never cooked.
Uh-huh.
And that first meal, we couldn't eat it.
What was your husband's name?
Russell Jones.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And so your mother died, and you were still living with her. And so what year was it that you were pregnant?
In 1950. I got pregnant a couple of months after she died.
How did you, at the time, did you know how you felt when she died?
I was heartbroken. She had gotten sick. I had gone by there, but, you know, I just thought it was an illness that she'd get over. Mm-hmm. But she had been sick about 6 or 7 years before, and she'd been in the hospital for a long time, and she came out, she was real thin and weak and everything, but she had gotten over. Mm-hmm. So I had thought, you know, that this, but then it started getting worse, and the last time I went to see her in the hospital, they gave her spinal, and you couldn't touch her, she was in pain, and it moved over to the contagious disease ward. Mm-hmm. They said they thought she had 2D meningitis.
Wow.
And I remember I was supposed to go. It was one Friday. I got off from work. I was working day shift that month. And I was supposed to go to the hospital, but I came home. I was so tired. And so instead, I had told my aunt, I said, well, I don't think I'll go, you know. And the phone rang early that Saturday morning. And I woke up, I said, that's my mother, you know, like that. And I answered the phone, and my aunt said, you better get over to the house right away. And so, you know, I woke my husband up and my boy, and we got dressed real quick and went over there. And just as we walked in the door, the hospital, my father was on the phone, the hospital said she was dead.
And did anything fall on you?
No, because now my sister was still living at home. She had had a child by then. My other sister happened to have been home then, but she had she was the one that never stayed around. She had kind of left home when she was about 14 or 15, but it just happened that she was back at that time. I had a brother who was he was about 18 at the time. No, maybe he was a little older. But I remember my twin brothers were 15. So my father took care of me. So it fell on my father, you know. Like, I think my younger sister didn't stick around too long. My other sister stayed with my father. So it was my sister and my three brothers that stayed with me.
So he wasn't alone?
No. It was a long time before he was alone.
So, you decided to get married when you found out you were pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And then, how long did
you take? About 9 years, I think.
You said that you had some plans. What were your expectations?
Oh, well, like, the house I had bought, the garage was all equipped for a working area. And he had his veterans benefit. So I had suggested to him that he go to an upholstery class, and then I would take upholstery and we'd open up our own business. You know, I had real good ideas about how to get ahead, you know. The only thing was I couldn't do it by myself. And nothing ever materialized. He always thought I was trying to screw him.
Did he say that?
And so many words after we got to getting along real bad, you know.
Uh-huh.
We'd say anything.
Uh-huh.
And he'd listen to, like, if you were walking down the street and you told him it's going to rain, and I said, no, the sun's shining, he believed you instead of me.
Uh-huh.
You know, he always thought I was trying to screw him.
You know, was he suspicious of a lot of people?
No. He was suspicious, and by him being from Texas, you know, he was real integrated. White folks, you know. I always listen to what the white folks say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was into that thing, and then he was kind of Uncle Tomish, what we blacks call it, you know.
Uh-huh.
Uncle Tomish around white folks, you know.
Uh-huh.
The way he would put it, so that you know. Yeah, he was always suspicious. I don't know if you've ever been around illiterate people. That was my first experience. And I really learned a lot. He always said that I thought I was so smart, you know, and I knew so much and this and that. And after I found out I couldn't get him to go to school, I couldn't get him to do anything or like that, then, oh, especially when I was pregnant, like I was pregnant, yeah, I had the first baby, 51, 52, 53. So all the time I was pregnant, you know, never cuddled me, not 1 minute. You know, pregnant women need their husbands, and they need all the sympathy and everything. All I could see was his ass going out the door. And so, consequently, there was a lot of arguments and so forth. So I threw up to him, and I said, well, goddamn ignorant bastard, you don't even, you know, you can't even write your goddamn name. You know, that was my favorite expression. So then it got so that, you know, it was nothing but arguments. And I stood it until the kids got to an age where I thought I could handle them. I was sick of them. And then it got so that, you know, I started having extramarital relationships. And like on Friday nights, he'd go this way, I'd go that way. And he'd try to say something to me, and didn't say nothing to me.
Did, in terms of, what did he do?
Well, when he first came here, he was doing construction work, and that paid good money. Then after I got pregnant, he changed, and the only other kind of work he could do was like in car lots. Detail cars, work on cars. He knew a little something about cars and anything, which didn't pay a hell of a lot of money. And so it was one job after another like that. And he couldn't very well go any place where he had to read. And what he'd do, if they give him notes to go do something, he'd go to the other guys that he worked with and have them read the notes. You know, he really had a hard time. And then he had a younger brother. And he'd take this younger brother with him when they go looking for jobs, so this younger brother could fill out applications for him. He still can't fill out applications. He's still as ignorant as he ever was.
So, he had these jobs, and then as far as that, when you began out and stuff, did you still have somebody to do childcare stuff for you?
Oh, I had a beautiful babysitter. I had a girlfriend, I had a teenage girl. She'd rather babysit for my kids and go to parties. So, I belonged to a poker club. So most of my weekends I was out playing poker for a long time. And then I'd have games at my house, and that's how, during the time that I wasn't working and having kids, that's how I'd make ends meet, because you'd goof off the money, you know. And we were moving like every 6 months. And we'd buy a house, we wouldn't pay the notes, and, you know. Then we have to move, but I had, during the time that I was off having the kids, well, I had Janice and I went back to work. I had the oldest when I went back to work. And then I was in the midst of changing jobs when I discovered I was pregnant by the second one by him. So I didn't work, and he was very put out about it, you know. And so then Tony was barely 3 months before I got pregnant with Carol. So I couldn't work. So, you know, it's just like we had to move, because he paid bills so far and then he wouldn't pay no more. So the poker, you know, whenever I'd have a game at my house on the weekend, and then most of the time, a lot of times I had people who wanted to give their games at my house, so they would pay me. And that's how, you know, I would make extra money and keep the kids, and every time I made some money, then he really wouldn't pay the bills. But I'd make $200, $250, mm-hmm. whenever I had the game at my house.
So people would I was pay pretty that good. Much to have them.
No, they wouldn't pay that much. I was just lucky. I was a good player.
Uh-huh.
I was so, pretty good.
So did you must be a good player. Uh-huh. So how long did you work at this?
I worked at the police department until February of 51, from December of 1946 to February of 1951.
And that was when you were pregnant?
Yeah, and I worked until, let's see, February, March, April, May. Well, I was about 6 months when I quit. Mm-hmm. And I drew my retirement. And that's why I kept the house payments going and the bills going, you know, during that time, because a part of the time